gorgeous faces. And I must say, thank you for doing communion today too. I was laughing and then I was crying, and because it was just a great confirmation of God's hand on what He's wanting to convey to us. And so today we're looking at God's heart and our response. If we can just have that slide up, please, that would be fantastic. The Father running towards us. Isn't God good? That's the Father. His heart response to us. Last week, I talked about stirring up a stuck society. And as it turns out, we seem to be the stuck ones. So the next slide, if we can have a look at that, we looked at how the good news is that around the world, since 1900 to 2013, as it has been recorded, there's been a massive increase of Christians all around the world, from 560 million to 2.1 billion. How good is that? But compared to the population of the world, the percentage is stuck at 33%. And so it would seem that we need to be stirred and unstuck to be God's people in this world, because we don't want to get stuck at that 33%, do we? No, we don't. Good, there's someone there that's responding. I like that. God has called us to be disciples that make disciples, and we looked at that in Matthew 28. And these are Jesus' last words before He got taken up, and it's all that He's asked us to do, is to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Are we up for it? Are we up for it? So the next slide, God loves us so much, and we have been singing beautifully and amazing, these amazing songs. If you just listen to the words, you know, we're wanting God's love to awaken us. And God is just speaking to me over and over again that this is His word for us right now, His now word for us, that would we allow His love to come in and awaken us? Because so often we can be people that say yes, but in our hearts we have it, we're saying no to some of the things He's asking us to do. And He wants us to truly follow Him, saying yes and yes in our hearts. He wants us to be so filled with His love that our hearts are totally aligned with His passion and purposes for this world, that we burn with the same fiery love that is in the Trinity, loving each other so wonderfully and loving us with the same passion. Just the next slide, God wants us to join Him in this wonderful cycle of fiery love. You know, we're in Him and He's in us. We're in the Trinitarian cycle and circle of beautiful fiery love. And He wants us to move with Him into the world, to see His love sparked into the hearts of others. You know, John 3:16, which we know so well, for God so loved the world that He sent His Son. He loves every person on this planet. He is burning with the same fiery love for them as He does for us, and He's sending us out. He's already out there working in hearts, and He's asking us to follow Him. So we talked about being stirred. And we need to keep asking ourselves, you know, is God, how have I been stirred? Are we allowing God to stir us? Have you been stirred this week? Have you been stirred this week to consider what change you might need to make in your own habits and lifestyle to make more room for this love of God to come in and awaken your heart? Did you start up a new devotion this week, a new version? Did you end up buying that journal that you've been thinking, I must do that so I can spend that time with Jesus and write out my heart to Him and let Him be speaking yet. Maybe you're here and this is the first time for a while that someone's posed that question to you. Just be encouraged that God has always got his heart, his invitation extended to you. And he's just waiting for your response and my response. So does Jesus have your heart? The next slide, please. Because he's not after our leftovers. He doesn't want there to be any leftovers. He wants to have our whole heart. And the highlight a bit there, do you believe that having and growing your relationship with Jesus is more important than any other relationship? That's a really important question to ask yourself. And it's something I know that I challenge my own heart at various times just to see if I need a shift in my mindset. Sometimes we can let things creep in. I know when I was single and all my friends were getting married and I wasn't, and I thought, well, what if God wants me to be single for the rest of my life? Would that be okay? And I had to get to the point that, okay, I know that God only has my best interest at heart, and if serving him means I can do it better as a single person, it's okay. So I came to peace with that. And we need to challenge ourselves. I know that when I did get married, and I remember walking down the street one day, and I was looking down, and I looked at my engagement ring, and it was so pretty, and the words that came out of my mouth were, oh, I love that ring. And I thought, oh, hang on a minute. Do I love that ring so much that if I didn't have it, I'd be upset with God? Or, you know, how much do I really value that? And I thought, no, Lord, you're still more important than anything that I might possess or any person or any human relationship. So I would encourage you and challenge yourself. Maybe you've got a relationship with some people. God, is this, if I didn't have this relationship, or what do you think of this relationship? Is it honouring you? What do you want to speak to me about that? Because Jesus, I want you to be my number one. And as we sang too, is he our first love? Is he your first love? Pleasing Jesus is more important than anything else to you. And to do that, we need to remember who God is for us. That he is supremely, supremely good. He's a good and perfect Father and only wants the best for you and for me. So we can trust him. God sees the big picture. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. So he knows what has been. He knows what's up ahead for us. Can you do that? Can I do that? No. And God is wiser. So we can trust our God. And so you're feeling a little bit wobbly in some things in your life, just remember again who God is. Let his love awaken you again to how beautiful and good he is to you and for you. Okay, so we've been looking at our hearts and but today we're wanting to look at the Father's heart. And I want us to look at the Father heart of God afresh today. I know Simon talked about the lost son, the father, and we have heard that story. But I believe God wants us to look at it afresh, that we might receive afresh the beautiful truth that God is wanting for us to capture again in our hearts. So we're going to look at Luke 15, and it is about a man who had the two sons. The youngest one came and said, I want all my inheritance. the father gives the inheritance, which I always find pretty amazing. Okay, here it is. And the young son went, and it says he went and just lived a wild life, wild living, squandered, spent the whole lot, and was in a really, really difficult space. He had absolutely nothing, and it says he's starving. So he must have had mega amounts of money, and now he's got... And he sees, he thinks back to his home and remembers, you know, my dad hires servants and they have a better life than I'm having right now. I'm just have to go back with my tail between my legs, full of shame, because I don't qualify to be a son anymore for all that I've done. So he realised his behaviour and he starts coming home. So Jess, could you come up and read our passage today, and we can have it up on the screen, please, Luke 15.
Thank you. So Luke 15, 20 to 24. So he, the son, got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate.
Awesome. Thank you, Jess, for that. Yay, Jess. Awesome. So we're going to do something a little bit different now. I want us to linger in this passage. So what I would like for us to do is for the next few minutes, discuss with the person next to you. And if you're on your own, please move so you have someone next to you. And I want you to think about that passage. What stands out to you? What stands out to you about the Father? What is it that impresses you about you and the Father? All right, and then we're going to bring that together. So let's just do that for the next few minutes and chat with the person next to you and let's see what you come up with. sounds like some good discussion going on there and some good points. And I think it'd be great for if something's come up, you think, oh, I really like that. Maybe your partner, the person that's in your group, suggested something that really, really liked. We'd love to hear it. So we've got a roaming mic there. So put up your hand if there's some things that came out from that. We've got something down the front.
All right. I think as we were discussing, first of all, I love this passage because it's so cool. And I was just blowing away about, you know, the Father accepts us and brings us back in. But then to not only just forgive us, give us an embrace and call it a day, he goes the whole next step to go, let's grab a robe, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, grab a fattened calf, and let's throw a party because you're back. And it's like, well, I was the one that did things wrong, and now you're celebrating that. And that just reminds me of God's love and how amazing it is that even though we can wander, we come straight back and he just gives us the biggest embrace. And it's so cool.
So cool. Awesome. Thank you. I love it. So a few others? Don't be shy. May wander towards you. Oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming.
Sorry. Oh, it's on this side. I was looking for girls' power, so good on you, Jess.
Go, female power. Yeah. No, I was talking about how I like left church, and I was still a Christian, but I was definitely a lukewarm Christian in that, and it kind of reminded me, like, when I came back to this church, first came to this church and I literally felt God's arms around me, give me a hug, and it took me a while to realize that he was celebrating me coming back. But like, I guess that resonates that he does actually like hug you. Like, I've had hugs, I don't know if anyone else has, but I think it's pretty cool. So yeah, that's what resonated with me.
Love it. Awesome, thank you.
So as a church then, we embrace backslidden people. All right, no judgment.
I love that while he was still a long way off, the Father saw him. You don't see something unless you're looking for it. And to be on your front porch because your son's been away for what must have been months, you don't become destitute and skinny and starving in a week. He was away for a long time. And the Father's sitting there waiting, looking, not just waiting for the knock on the door, but I see you coming through the town way off and I'm coming for you.
Love that. Love that.
His love pursues, eh?
Mm.
Yes, I saw the contrast between what the son was saying about himself and then what the father was doing. So he's already, you know, hugging him and kissing him, and then the son's saying, like, I'm not worthy, but the father's preoccupied with getting the robes and the feast ready. Like, he's like, oh, we'll have none of that, and then continues. Because he's like, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Like, he's probably rehearsed this. He's been like, I'm just going to be your servant now, but mm-hmm. The father's already preoccupied with celebrating.
Fantastic. Love that. Love all these points coming out. Fantastic. All right, well, maybe we'll go to the next slide. I pulled out a few things, which, surprise, surprise, you came up with too. I love the fact that he wasn't behind a closed door. He's looking outward. He's looking out for us, isn't he? He's not preoccupied with something, but he's looking out. He's got an outward focus. And the fact that the father saw the son and ran towards the son, and I'm thinking, I don't think the son knew that the father had seen the son at that point. And you know, God sees us even when we don't know or we're unaware. He sees us, he knows us, and he's coming for us. He's filled with compassion, oh, and not anger or disappointment, which we would think that would be the proper earthly kind of human response, to be upset, but no, so filled with compassion. as it says, and he ran. You know, when once the Father could see, he wastes no time. He's right there. He wastes no time to reach us. Beautiful. And he poured out love, and that's been identified by you, embraced and kissed, that the Father is, he wants to demonstrate love. It's not just this idea, oh yeah, we know God loves us. No, he wants you to know he loves you, and he's going to demonstrate that to you. You're going to experience his loving presence. He's going to bring people in your path. He's going to provide. He wants to demonstrate love. Not just talk about it. It's not just a thought. But that's the Father's heart for us. He wants to celebrate. That's beautiful. Elevate and restore. So, you know, as Holly said, unlike the son who was so disqualifying himself, like, I'm not worthy to be yours. You know, it goes to show that sometimes we can have those thoughts in our mind. Oh, Lord, I've done it again, or, you know, I made a mess of things. And but the Father is saying, your opinion as you doesn't matter. It's what I think of you. That's what matters. And you are my son and daughter. You are my child, and I never give up on you. That's the Father's heart for you, and I'm always running to you. My goodness is always there, being poured out. And that's God's heart for us. It's God's heart for the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. Beautiful. What a beautiful passage. So as we look at the next slide, what is standing out to you today? What does this mean for you in your relationship with God? Because he wants you to know, he wants us to know his heart for us. But he also wants us to know his heart for the world and for this mission that he's called us into. And then Jesus was so specific about what aspect of heart, of God's heart for the lost. So, yeah, you know, it's great. We know that we are so embraced. And how does that translate now about our heart and mindset to the lost and the broken that are in this world that don't know Jesus yet? Is there an aspect of God's heart for them that we need to grow in? You know, we might see people do the wrong thing and we might have judgment. But we didn't see that with the Father. We just saw compassion. Compassion and a running towards, wasting no time, almost like a sense of urgency, or I'm gonna respond right now. This person needs to know the love of God. What aspects of the Father heart do I need to grow in? How are we going to do that if we can see that deficit? What strategy can you pursue or do? And so that leads us to the next slide, because this fellowship is called to take Jesus up on his word. We want to go and see people come to Christ. We want to see disciples be made, and those disciples keep making disciples. And so we're going to start some midweek groups that we're all invited to participate in and to grow and to journey and to unlearn, I think, and relearn. I'm challenged by all of this. You know, I think, and then we need to be challenged, because 33% has been going on for a really long time. Something needs to give, hey? And so come along with an open heart. If you don't come to this fellowship and you want to be a part of it, please come. All are welcome if you want to grow in being a disciple of Christ. And I, you know, it's time, I believe that, you know, God's been doing some amazing stuff in us and through us as a fellowship over the years. And we celebrated some of that with, we got a report back from the National Church Life Survey Group, and how wonderful. And but there's more, and I am convinced that, and I thank God that, you know, He's been growing us from the inside out for many years, and we are, and I love this family because we are a people that just want to be doing what God is wanting us to do, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be filled with God, and we want to please God with all that we are. And Jesus is saying, great, now let's go. Get in that boat with me, and we're going to go for a great ride, because we're going to bring other people in, and it's going to be so brilliant, so amazing. You know, as we came to do worship today, the worship team sensed God just wants us to enter into celebration. You know, and heaven celebrates the most when people come into the kingdom, when people say yes to Jesus in their heart. That's where the celebration is. So yes, we want to celebrate Jesus and join Him in His great celebration, which is seeing people say yes to Him and come home to the Father. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that that's what you have for us. For every believer on this planet, that's what you have for us. And Lord, in our hearts today, we want to say yes afresh to you. Lord, we don't really know what that even looks like, because we've been actually doing the best we can at this Christian life thing. And yet, we're not seeing, you know, the many and the multitude coming into the kingdom, and that's your heart's desire, and that is ours. Lord, would you show us? Lord, would you just come and mold us? Lord, we just lay everything at your feet. We lay all of our ideas and our thoughts that we think are right, and we're just going to let you come in and mold us afresh. And it's not just us doing it individually, but we want to do it together, to be challenged, to share our challenges, to try what you're asking us to do, and to share that, to be encouraged that we go with you, Lord, because you're leading us forward and we are wanting to keep close and follow you. We love you. Would you, Father, would you just infuse us with your heart, Lord? We thank you that following you is not a formula. But we just want you to change us from the inside out, because we want to live the wild and wonderful normal Christian life that we've actually signed up for. And so, Lord, as we continue, Lord, just to move into a time of reflection, of worship, Lord, we come to continue to experience your goodness, Lord, and to be a reminder afresh of your love that continues to chase us, and Lord, that continues to chase everyone in this world. And we just want to follow you into that space, Lord God. Come, Lord Jesus. Would you just come and fill us afresh with your heart. With your heart, Lord. Because we want our hearts to be in alignment with yours. In alignment with your passion and your purpose. We give it all to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So can I invite the worship team to come up and to lead us, please? Thank you. So we invite Holy Spirit to come and just do business with God.